Grace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and by your Spirit lead us to ponder anew your grace to us in Christ Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated. What do you ponder in those moments of solitude? What are the inner conversations of your mind and heart? You might ponder the past. You might ponder the future. What do you ponder? In our gospel reading, we meet the Virgin Mary, an unknown young Jewish woman, perhaps only a teenager at the time. And among many other things, Mary is set before us as one who especially ponders the work of God in her life. This theme comes up several times. After the time we hear this morning, in Jesus' early life, we read twice that Mary treasured all these things in her heart, pondering them. And take note, as I said, that Mary was probably only a teenager at this stage. And so, young people here today, this is a text for you especially to tune into. Parents of young people, those who work with young people, for you too. This text can remind us that in the hearts and minds of young people, there is often much more happening than meets the eye. It can be a time of spiritually significant ponderings of the heart. Mary has what you may call a rich inner life with God, an inner closeness to God that matures and grows as she ponders all that God has done and said to her, especially his grace to her, which is also for you. And so as we trace this journey of Mary today, we'll be led to ponder anew the grace of God and the words of God in our own lives. So let's see first the cause of Mary's pondering, and then the angel stretching it and giving some more content to her pondering, and finally, the consequence of it all in the end. So what is it that gets Mary pondering in herself to begin with? Well, it's specifically the strange greeting of the angel Gabriel, isn't it? Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Now, that first word, greetings, can even be translated something like, rejoice, Mary, rejoice, favored one. And the word for favor is also the word for grace. So there are some big, loaded words in this greeting. You have a visit from an angel of God. You have a call to rejoice. You have a word of grace and favor. And you have this word of the Lord's presence with you in some very special way. No wonder it's perplexing for Mary. She ponders what sort of greeting this is. She's thinking to herself, perhaps, why is there cause for rejoicing? What does it mean to have God's favor and grace? In what sense is the Lord especially with me? Now, as I said, these are wonderful, loaded, spiritually charged words in this greeting. And perhaps it's precisely because of that that Mary is perplexed and begins to ponder. Because we human beings can be quite cautious, can't we, when something seems almost too good to be true. If someone comes to you with an over-the-top greeting that really pumps you up, you're quite likely thinking, well, I don't know if something's not quite right here. What do they want? What's coming next? What's all this going to mean? And when it comes to our encounters with God, with our encounters with the Word of God, it's not just the hard words that we struggle with, it can also be the words of blessing to us. For many people, when they hear that God loves them, that he will never leave you, that Christ Jesus came for you, that the Lord has called you to serve him. All of these wonderful words of God to us, because of their grandeur and wonder, can actually be hard to take in a funny sort of way. But notice carefully that if Mary's initial response does have something of this cautious quality, she doesn't let suspicion or cynicism take hold. That can happen with our inner ruminations, can't it? But there's a bit of a contrast here. That happens a little bit more with Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. You remember he receives a visit from an angel. He's also fearful at first. His reaction is similar to Mary's, but Zechariah ends up getting chastised for his lack of faith. Whereas what we watch develop in Mary is that Mary's is a journey of pondering in faith, even though there will also be doubts that go along with that. So there's the cause of Mary's pondering, the greeting of the angel. Now the angel is going to stretch Mary and give her some more content to ponder on. And basically what Gabriel does here is unpack the greeting for Mary that he's just given. So the first thing to know, Mary, is that you're going to have a baby, a little boy. Conception, pregnancy, new life. This is part of the joy and the grace here, especially for Mary. Now that's going to give her plenty to ponder, to say the least. And notice that this is what Mary hones in on. How can this be, since I am a virgin? And so the angel explains that this is not going to be any natural conception, but a supernatural one. The conception in the womb will happen by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now there's something to ponder. But another aspect of the joy and grace and presence of God in all this is that the boy to be born will in fact be the promised Messiah, he says, the new David, the promised king who will rule over an everlasting kingdom. There's something else to ponder. Parents, of course, want good things for their children. And as they watch them grow, they look out for qualities or characteristics or gifts and talents which may give them a clue as to where their children are going to end up. Imagine knowing right from the beginning that your child is destined to be the promised king. And as if all this isn't enough, Mary discovers that when the angel Gabriel says the Lord is with her, that he means this very literally, that this child, who would be the Messiah, will be called holy and the Son of God. In the Old Testament, the Son of God could be an honorific title for God's king, but now Gabriel is saying that this one to be born will actually be the Son of God. God's holy presence residing in Mary's womb. There's plenty there to ponder for her, isn't there? And for us too, friends, the Christian faith is full of mystery. Many of these mysteries we confess in our creed, Sunday by Sunday, we confess that the child Jesus in Mary's womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We confess that Jesus Christ is both truly God and truly a human being. We confess that all of this is for our salvation, because this God-man, Jesus Christ, is also our Messiah, your Redeemer, your Savior from sin. This grace and mercy and favor of God, which was spoken to Mary, is also for you. And these mysteries are simply too wonderful to grasp. They need to be pondered. They need to be savored. They need to be enjoyed. And especially at this time of year, it's a good reminder for us. As we near Christmas, with all of the busyness, with all of the hectic things going on in our lives, entering into the routine of something we've celebrated so many times before, don't let it pass you by without taking time to ponder again the wonder of God's grace to you in Christ Jesus. There's the cause of Mary's pondering. There's the further content for her to ponder. And finally, notice that there's also a consequence of Mary's pondering. Her inner life is not something that remains only inside, but it comes out in powerful ways, especially here in these beautiful words of trust in God, and later in an even more beautiful song of praise. Remember earlier I referenced Zechariah, how he was perplexed as well at the angel's message to him. And in contrast to Mary, though, his grew in a different direction. And later in the Gospels, we see even worse examples of this, where the same word that's used here for Mary's pondering is used for people's ruminations in their opposition to Jesus. Their internal dialogues, their pondering, is not about the grace and favor of God for them, but they ponder how to rebel against God, even how to get their hands on God's Son. And isn't that how it can be for us as well? The ponderings of our minds and hearts aren't so often on the things of God as they are filled with other things. Things of which we would be ashamed were they to be out in the open. Which is why it is so important that we, like Mary, let God have the last word. That's faith. Faith which receives the grace of God. So Mary says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Now, at this point, it's not that Mary's ponderings have led her to completely understand everything that the angel has spoken to her. That would be impossible. It's not that her ponderings and her meditation and her contemplation on the Word of God have led her to a place where everything is now neatly squared away and she gets it all. She knows exactly what this is all going to mean. She's surely thinking about all sorts of loose ends. What about the conversation she's going to have with Joseph, with the rest of her family, the way this is going to look to the community? She can't possibly have known all that this would mean for her in the short term, let alone the long term. And yet in faith she responds. In trust she submits herself to God and His word of grace and His plan, and she trusts in that word. And through Mary's life then, I can't help but wonder whether she returned to ponder these words again and again. As she watched her son mature, as she watched his ministry, teaching and healing and casting out demons, as she watched the opposition to him grow, as she watched him betrayed and arrested and mocked and crucified, I wonder whether she stood there at the foot of the cross, continuing to ponder on that greeting of the angel so long ago. "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." Perhaps she pondered, even now as my son hangs on a cross. Well, yes, even now, Mary, because in him and in his death and resurrection, there is grace and favor from God, not just for you, but for all people. And perhaps ultimately it was only much later, in the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, that all of Mary's ponderings fell into place. So it is with us, in a sense. We hear the words of God to us, we ponder them, we struggle with them at times, and we aren't necessarily called to have it all worked out, certainly not in the beginning. We cannot grasp with our minds all of the mysteries of the Christian faith with perfect understanding. And if you are here today and you do still struggle with aspects of the faith, you do still ponder how it's all supposed to fit together, that's okay. We aren't called to have it all worked out. But what we are called to fundamentally is the response of faith. Are you willing to let this gracious God have the last word? Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So, what do you ponder? As you naturally ponder the past and as you naturally look to the future, I pray that this Christmas you may ponder anew the grace of God in Jesus Christ and his words of favor. They were spoken to an unknown young Jewish teenager in a most remarkable way, but they are also words for each and every one of you. Don't let the wonder of that pass you by without taking time to ponder it anew. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.